I remind you guys that every single day, Southern Immediate Care is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and they are so good at what they do. Open 7 days a week in all their locations in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care. They will see all ages 7 days a week, and they are the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. Check them out. All right. Listen, let me just start by saying this past weekend's international events in the Middle East, I think they carry repercussions that we're going to see for a long, long time. And I don't think we're done yet. There's great speculation right now as to what Bibi Netanyahu is going to do, what Israel is going to do. And I'll just tell you, I don't want to be on the wrong side of this. And yet we've got Biden at the helm right now. We can't do a thing about it. Biden is at the helm. And I do not want the United States to be on the wrong side of this. Political commentator Noel Rothman was once quoted saying, "Sometimes standing on the wrong side of history in defense of a cause you think is right is still just standing on the wrong side of history." Truer words could never be uttered to best describe the Biden administration's foreign policy. This past weekend, the world watched as a second major attack by an extremist Islamic State was launched against our longtime ally and close partner Israel. Keep in mind that in the wake of World War II, the first nation to recognize the sovereignty of Israel as a country on the world stage was the United States, and the first state to do so within the U.S. was the state of Alabama. From its very origins, the U.S. has stood as a defense, a friend, an ally, a partner for the only true democracy in a region filled with unrest and questionable leadership. Also, keep in mind that where we were just a few short years ago, it was a whole different world. Under the Trump administration, less than 5 years ago, the U.S. Embassy was moved to Jerusalem in a bold move that signaled to the rest of the Middle East that we weren't going to continue to dance around the fickle and anti-Semitic whims of Iran and Lebanon and Palestine and Hezbollah and Syria and all the other misfit nations and groups that oppose the idea of the U.S. simply posting its embassy in the actual capital of a foreign state, by the way, with whom we've had solid relations for over seven decades. So yeah, the U.S. Capitol, or the U.S. Embassy, moved to the capital of Jerusalem. At the same time, the unprecedented landmark agreement authored and promoted by the U.S., called the Abraham Accords, it was signed in 2020 and normalized diplomatic relations between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Morocco. It was heralded as a game-changing time in the Middle East, with new opportunities for economic development, people-to-people exchanges, government agreements. It was also a time, by the way, in which Iran was marginalized. Iran, the nation that pursues nuclear ambitions while shouting death to Israel and death to America, the same Iran that trained Shia militias during the war in Iraq to plant major new versions of roadside bombs called EFPs, those same EFPs that could penetrate U.S. armored vehicles resulted in the deaths of over 600 U.S. service members. Iran, the country who foments trouble and mayhem across the region by funding and arming its proxies, the Houthis and Hezbollah and Hamas, Iran was finally marginalized by major sanctions from the U.S. and the targeted strike from a U.S. Predator drone that took out the head of Iran's Republican Guard Force named General Qasem Soleimani. Y'all, all that occurred just 4 to 5 years ago. And then came Biden, a man who ostensibly has decades of foreign policy experience, but who has also been said by his own buddy Barack Obama that we should, quote, not underestimate Joe's ability to screw things up. And yeah, he said it a little differently, but this is a family show. Former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, who served under both Bush and Obama, he said of Biden, quote, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. Well, then, if that's what people say who serve with Biden, even Democrats, then what are we to think when we watch the current state of affairs in the Middle East? How does an administration get so much so wrong in so short a period of time? It is an epic fail to think that in less time than it takes to build a bridge in America that Biden has now burned every bridge in the Middle East. It is Joe Biden who lifted sanctions on Iran and gave them the ability to fund their radicalism by selling their oil to other of U.S.'s adversaries like China and Russia. It is Biden who, immediately after being elected, lifted the name of Iran's puppets, the Houthis, off the international terrorism designation list. The same Houthis who are now shooting at U.S. ships on a near-daily basis. It is Biden who pulled back from the Abraham Accords and then traded $6 billion for six hostages to Iran so that Iran would now have more money and more clout and more international opportunities to just sneer and point at the weak and feckless Americans who do nothing in the face of their great Persian force. It is Biden who signaled weakness in the face of Iran's influence once again by undermining and pressuring Israel to pull back on their attacks in Gaza, despite the fact that it was Israel who had suffered greatly on October 7th last year, when terrorists from Iran's proxy Hamas raped and pillaged and beheaded and laughed and scorned and burned their way across huge portions of Israel, killing nearly 1,500 people and dragging hundreds back to Gaza as human shield hostages. And all of this weakness and wrong-headed fecklessness by Biden emboldened Iran to the point that this past weekend, Iran, for the first time ever, launched an attack from its own sovereign soil to Israel's sovereign soil. There were no proxies. There was no plausible deniability. This was nation on nation, and it represents one of the gravest and most significant increases in regional instability in modern Middle Eastern history. Biden quickly followed the attack this weekend, though, by canceling the remainder of his 97th vacation getaway to call Israel's Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu just to, you know, talk out both sides of his mouth, promising support on one hand, while apparently telling Netanyahu to hold off on any retaliation on the other. Look, we don't need to be on the wrong side of history here. I can speak to this from so many angles. Support for Israel, no support for Iran. One is a democracy, a partner, an ally, a friend. The other is an Islamic radical theocracy that kills our people, foments unrest, funds terrorism, and calls for death to America. I can support Israel from a position of foreign policy, from the standpoint of U.S. interests. I can support Israel from a position of strategic advantage and military force projection. I can support Israel as a matter of faith, believing it's still the land of God's promises. And honestly, I can support Israel as a matter of common sense. In 1981, President Ronald Reagan welcomed Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin to the White House. In his welcoming remarks, Reagan spoke glowingly of standing by Israel. And this is what he said. You ready? He said, quote, "Israel and America may be thousands of miles apart, but we are philosophical neighbors, sharing a strong commitment to democracy and the rule of law. What we hold in common are the bonds of trust and friendship, qualities that in our eyes make Israel a great nation. No people have fought longer, struggled harder, or sacrificed more than yours in order to survive and to grow and to live in freedom." And then Reagan went on to say this. He said, "The United States and Israel share similar beginnings as nations of immigrants yearning to live in freedom and to fulfill the dreams of our forefathers. We have both sought to establish societies of law, to live in peace, and to develop the full potential of our lands. We share a devotion to democratic institutions responsible to the wills of our citizens. Our peoples embrace common ideals of self-improvement through hard work and an individual initiative. And together, we seek peace for all people in partnership. We're determined to defend liberty and safeguard the security of our citizens. We know Israelis live in constant peril, but Israel will have our help. She will remain strong and secure, and her special character of spirit and genius and faith will prevail." Those are amazing words from a U.S. president in my lifetime. And I told you just a few years ago how different it was under the Trump administration. And yet here we are, just a mere 4 years later. Y'all, we don't need to be on the wrong side of history here. I don't know if the Biden administration has the ability, the desire, or even the wherewithal to pivot and correct course, but the American people do. And we need to get Biden out of office, or we may wind up facing a war on a scale of what we might call biblical proportions. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. And yeah, we're going to talk about that more in detail, but do not for a second think that what happened this past weekend was just one more thing in the Middle East, because it wasn't. It wasn't. They were not successful. Iran was actually embarrassed, which is kind of fun. At the same time, the intent they had was to do massive destruction to Israel. More on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, choosing to be on the right side of history. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.